Fellowship coming tomorrow in Indianapolis, Indiana. I hope you have contacted Andy May by now at camay222@yahoo.com. But like I did last weekend, ladies and gentlemen, I have to make a couple shows ahead of time. And so the show that you hear on Monday will actually be me still recording this week because I'm going to be quite busy at the conferences. Now, one of the most startling differences between the trumpets is that Paul writes about one and John writes about another one. This is so simple. These two writers couldn't be any more different. Well, they have one thing in common. The Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. But after that, we have John being one of the high-profile ministers of the circumcision, and we have Paul being an apostle to the nations. So the contrast keeps growing as we go here. The unveiling, the book we're studying, was given by and through an apostle of the circumcision, that is the Jews, and that's John. And again, it was always Peter, James, John, so he's one of the three amigos there. And its message is especially for that nation. Now, the trials involve the whole earth, you know that, but you will not make any progress, no one will, in Revelation unless they realize that it's a revelation for Israel and it ties to Abraham and the promises God made to Abraham. God never promised Abraham he was going to meet him in the air, change his body from mortal to immortal in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and take him to heaven. That wasn't Abraham's promise, wasn't his belief, didn't fuel his passion. His goal. Sarah did that. And her handmaiden on a particular instance there. The kingdom that's ushered in by the seventh trumpet is Israel's kingdom. This is simple. It's Israel's kingdom that's ushered in by the seventh trumpet. And we have no part in this. Doesn't mean we can't come down and visit them, say hi, check out the wine there. But we have no part in the ruling capacity or even an inhabitant capacity. We're not going to be renting any property down there. No lot is going to be divided on the earth and given to us. And yet the seventh trump introduces the kingdoms of the earth. And remember this verse 18 in chapter 11? The nations are angered. In connection with the seventh trump, it says expressly, written by John, one of the three amigos, the nations are angered. That's what happens at the seventh. You don't believe that? Okay, listen, I'll go back to it. Chapter 11, starting with verse 15. The seventh messenger trumpets, loud voices occur in heaven saying, the world kingdom became our Lord's and his Christ. He shall be reigning for the eons of the eons. And he's going to blight those who are blighting the earth. Verse 18, and the nations are angered, and thy indignation came. There it is. The nations are angered. Are the nations going to be angered when we're snatched away? No, they're going to be happy because they got rid of us. Nobody cares about us. They're going to be angered. For one thing, nobody's going to know about it. How could they possibly be angered when 1,000 people disappear? The nations are angered. Really? Some of our own family members won't even be angered. So, the differences couldn't be more pronounced here. How unlike this is from our expectation. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. These were early letters of Paul written to the body of Christ, not to Israelites. It's true some Israelites are in the body of Christ, but Paul is an apostle to the nations. And he wrote to them concerning the trump of God, and they were of the uncircumcision. Please contrast that with the circumcision. And they could not even connect Paul's words with the seventh trumpet because the unveiling in which appears the seventh trumpet was written long afterward, long after Paul wrote Corinthians and Thessalonians. And they were written not by Paul, but by an apostle who was not even sent to them. Namely, John. These differences just keep getting more pronounced and more obvious. Paul was severed in Acts 13:2, severed for his ministry. I'm told by some that his ministry doesn't even begin until he's in prison, like 35 years later. No, that's not why Paul was severed. He wasn't severed so that he could teach Israel's evangel for 30 years, and then the last 3 years of his life finally get in what Paul, what God wanted him to say to the nations. No. Don't be tricked by the fact that he's going to Israel first. He goes to the synagogue. That's his way. Because he's still testifying that Jesus is the Christ, but all along he's giving his evangel. He calls the change of our bodies a secret in 1 Corinthians 15. Lo, to you a secret am I telling, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. That's 1 Corinthians, one of the earliest letters. I'm told that was written to Israel, and there's no secrets. He's just rehashing old Israel truth. How can that be when he says, lo, a secret to you am I telling? It's been suggested that Romans is a letter Paul wrote to Israel. Didn't get around to his evangel till Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. How can that be when Romans 11:25 says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren? So Paul was severed for a special service. And the leaders in the circumcision, including John, one of the three amigos, recognized Paul's ministry for the nations. So when he came to Thessalonica, he first went to the Jewish synagogues, as I explained. But he, when they would not receive his message, he goes to the nations. And in Acts 17, verse 1 through 9, said a vast multitude of the reverent Greeks believed Paul. The reverent Greeks. These are members of the body of Christ. They wouldn't have known anything about the seventh trump. Paul didn't say this is also the seventh trump, which the nations are going to be angered. In fact, it's the opposite. The nations here are glad. The nations, the reverent Greeks of Acts 17, 1 and 9, believed Paul, and they rejoiced that God was now coming to the nations. They never heard of the seventh trump, because this is not the seventh trump. Couldn't be more different than the seventh trump. These Greeks in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 were turning back to God from idols. That's not Israel. Paul is the last one we should expect to reveal truth intended for the Jews as he's writing these early believers about the death of their loved ones. That was the deal in Thessalonica, where the famous passage in chapter 4 comes from. Paul's comforting them, saying, lest you be sorrowing as the rest, I want to tell you something. And what consolation would it be for Paul to tell him about the seventh trump? Let's say Paul did get inside information or advanced notice above one of the amigos that there was even such a thing as the seventh trump. How is this going to comfort the Thessalonians? Because you know I link 1 Thessalonians 4 with 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the comfort for your loved ones. The nations will be angered. And the kingdom that God, don't sorrow. Don't cry. No, wipe the tears from your eyes. Why, Paul? Why? My mother just died. Oh, here's why. Because God's going to bring his kingdom that he promised it Abraham to bring to Israel. How's that comfort me? Yeah, I'd be mad too. It's not a comfort. The comfort is that your bodies are going to be changed. No consolation could be found for those of the nations in connection with the seventh trumpet. None. He gives them an expectation above and beyond Israel, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul hinted at the truth of justification in Pisidian Antioch, and he later expanded on that in Romans. Likewise, he expands and always expanding this truth of the miraculous, startling, secret change of members of the body of Christ. He gives the nations their first glimpse in 1 Thessalonians. Later, he adds to it, builds it up, tells you how it's going to happen, tells us we have a prior expectation, tells us that our bodies are going to be conformed into the glory of Christ's body. That's a new thing. So this thing goes from glory to glory. But it doesn't go from circumcision to uncircumcision. It just doesn't. The seventh trumpet, on the other hand, was no secret. That God was going to bring a kingdom to Israel and that the nations were going to be angered. The seventh trumpet sounds and the nations were angered. Oh yeah, that's a real consolation to people in Thessalonica 20 years or odd years before who were sorrowing over their dead. Seventh trump was no secret. It was told that the nations would be angry. It was told that Israel's apostates would be doomed. Psalms said that, but Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians tells them again a secret, and the secret is change. Change from a soulish body to a celestial body. No such change is needed for Israelites because they're staying on earth. Yes, they have to be made immortal, but the change is less radical. Our change will change us to a body like our Lord had. Their change will be into a body like Jesus Christ had when he reappeared, when he was resurrected and came and spoke with his disciples. Now, to finish out this week, I got a couple minutes left here. You know, I don't like to mention that it's even Christmas time because I like these messages to be timeless. I don't really care about the holidays. And so I at Thanksgiving, I don't give a nice little Thanksgiving message. On the 4th of July, I don't give a national message. On Easter, I don't talk about the resurrection. I hate to be predictable, so I'm just not. I refuse to do it. However, this is the only thing I will say about Christmas. God help me. Everything I hear about Christmas is about family. And well, it should be. You know, we spend time with your loved ones, gather around the hearth, and have a nice Christmas meal. And you give your loved ones presents. And we all say how important it is to spend time with loved ones. And I'm thinking, no freaking kidding. Really? We're loving our loved ones and we're just magnificent because we buy presents for our loved ones and we spend time with our loved ones and we kiss our wannabe loved ones under the mistletoe. Here is the message of Paul. It has nothing to do with Christmas and it's loving your enemies. Let's see that, because you know what? Jesus said, so you're loving your family. He says, even the nations do that. What's the big deal? You want to show me something? You want to show Christ something? It sounds like a challenge, but I'm not challenging you. Maybe I am challenging you. I want you to give a present to your enemy. I want you to give a present to someone who hates you. I want you to give the morsel to someone who would take the morsel from you. Forget about leaving Santa Claus a cookie. You're only doing that anyway because you want him to be nice to you because you've been naughty. So you leave Santa a cookie and you feel noble and you go to bed. Oh, I did such a good deed. I left Santa a cookie. I got an idea for you. Leave Satan a cookie. Leave your enemy a cookie. That's what Paul means in Romans 12 when he says, give your enemy the morsel. For by doing so, you will be heaping coals of burning fire upon his head. And this doesn't mean that you're sending them to hell. It means that you're making them think for the first time. It's like that guy. Oh, I hate that guy. And he was nice to me. That's going to mess them up. You're going to mess that person up. Make them think. That's what you want to do, right? Give the gift of messing someone up. Give the gift that keeps on giving. That is making someone wonder, why is that guy being nice to me? Because ideally that person will reflect and they will see the love of God and they will associate it with your message. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the best advertisement that you have for the forwarding of this message.